AFRS Sports Radio. Greetings, sports fans. Here we go again with another quarter hour of highlights and sidelights from the sporting scene. Today, our sports commentators are Bill Stern and Bill Brandt. First up, here's one of the top sports commentators of the day, and one of his famous sports shorts, it's Bill Stern.
Back many years ago, the Pittsburgh Pirates had an old center fielder by the name of Cy Wilkins. He was just about all washed up, and he knew it. But he dreaded the day when a new center fielder would be hired to take his place. And one day, the old-timer's fears came true. For on that day, a new center fielder was hired to take his place. This new center fielder was a young rookie named Ted Daly. Ted Daly was a quiet, shy, pink-cheeked country boy. Immediately, the old-timer knew that he'd lose his job to the young rookie unless he could make life so miserable for that rookie that the rookie would quit. The veteran center fielder quickly decided that the best way to make the young rookie quit was by humiliating him until the rookie just couldn't take it anymore. And so the veteran center fielder, seeing the young rookie's pink cheeks, decided to humiliate him by nicknaming him Gertie. And every time the young rookie would come out on the playing field, the veteran center fielder would yell, "Oh, Gertie, Gertie, got a date tonight, Gertie?" It got so bad that one day, much to the young rookie's embarrassment, the veteran center fielder ran up to the young rookie and planted a kiss on his cheeks, saying, "Hey, fellas, look at Gertie." Not for a moment did this veteran let up on the rookie. Always it was Gertie, Gertie, Gertie this and Gertie that, until soon the young rookie's confidence began to leave him. He became despondent, gloomy. His playing fell off until one day, the young rookie just quietly packed his bags and slipped away without saying goodbye to anyone. The veteran outfielder had driven the young rookie right out of baseball. That all happened over 30 years ago. The years have passed since then. But one day, not so long ago, according to the story, a strange scene took place in a Texas courtroom. Before a stern-faced judge, a ragged bum stood at the bar of justice, charged with vagrancy and attempting to crash his way into the local baseball park.
You've heard the charges. How do you plead?
Guilty, Your Honor.
Take a look at yourself. Don't you think you might be better off if you went looking for a job instead of trying to sneak into a baseball park?
Your Honor, I wanted to see that ball game, and I had no money. I thought it might make me forget I'm a bum. You see, once I was a ball player myself.
Well, you certainly don't look like it now.
Oh, sure, Judge, I don't blame you for doubting me. But once I was a young rookie trying out with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I might have made the team, too, if it hadn't been for one player on that team. I never knew what he had against me, but he gave me such a brutal tongue-lashing, he drove me right out of baseball. I never amounted to much after that, I guess.
Step a little closer. I want to take a good look at you. Mm-hmm. The court recognizes your story to be true. And furthermore, this court wants to go on record as saying that if anyone is guilty in this case, it's the man who drove you out of baseball. A nickname like Gertie is too much for any youngster to live down. That nickname, Gertie, was cruel and inhuman.
But, Judge, how'd you know that Gertie was my nickname? I haven't mentioned it to a soul for 30 years.
I know, because it's been on my conscience for all these years. You see, I was that thoughtless ball player who drove you out of baseball. Case dismissed.
Before we hear from Bill Brandt with one of his famous once-in-a-lifetime yarns, I'd like to tell you about a World Series of a few years back. It was in October 1931. Jimmy Wilson was catching for the St. Louis Cardinals in their World Series battle with the Philadelphia Athletics. The A's got off to a good start by winning the first game 6-2. The Cards manager, Charlie Sweet, selected Wild Bill Hallahan to hurl the second game, and Connie Mack countered with George Earnshaw. It was in that game that Wilson pulled the boner that almost, not quite, but almost, made him the goat of the series. The Cardinals picked up one run in the fifth when Pepper Martin scored, and Hallahan worked smoothly behind that slim lead, not allowing a hit through the fifth inning. In that frame, Jimmy Fox led off with a walk, and Bing Miller broke the no-hit spell with a single. Jimmy Dyke sacrificed the runners along, putting the tying run on third with only one out. It was Div Williams' turn at bat, so catcher Jimmy Wilson went to the mound and asked Hallahan to walk Williams in order to get at Earnshaw. Team captain Frankie Frisch objected, arguing that Connie Mack would only throw in a pinch hitter. Wilson argued that that would be all the better. At least Earnshaw would be out of there. Well, Earnshaw batted for himself after Williams had been purposely walked. The A's hurler swung and lined one to Frisch at second. Frankie stepped on the bag for a double play. The Cards picked up another run in the eighth. Then the A's came to bat for their last chance. Fox led off with another walk. After Miller went out, Dykes walked. Then Hallahan bore down and struck out Williams. This time, Mack did send in a pinch hitter, Jim Moore. It was then that Jimmy Wilson pulled his bonehead play of the series. Hallahan fired two fastballs in there. Both were good strikes. Only one more to go. Wilson flashed the signal, and as Hallahan poured that ball in there, Wilson saw Fox break for third. Automatically, Wilson fired the ball to third, and then he wished with all his heart he could drag it back. For Wilson suddenly realized what was going on. Moore had struck out on that pitch. It had been in the dirt, a pickup, and all Wilson had to do was tag Moore or throw to first. But Jimmy couldn't, for that ball was sailing toward third. Jimmy raised his hand as if to call the ball back, and the third base coach, Eddie Collins, saw the motion. He started yelling, letting the A's know what was going on. Fox slid into third. The third sacker, Jake Flowers, threw the ball back to Wilson, but by that time Moore was on first, and all hands were safe. Wilson went on to tell Hallahan how sorry he was, but Wild Bill merely smiled and said, "Don't worry, this guy Max Bishop couldn't hit me with six bats." Whether Bishop could have or not is another matter, but that time he fouled the first pitch back of first, and Jim Bottomley hauled it in for the final out. Despite Wilson's bonehead play, the Cards still won the game 2-0, and the series in 7 games. However, it was a long time after that before Jimmy Wilson could wipe out the memory of that play. The time he tried to throw a man out at third when he held the last out in the palm of his glove. Now, let's focus our sports reel camera on Bill Brandt. He has a tale about Michigan's immortal coach, the late Fielding Yost. Come in, Bill.
Hurry Up Yost moved to Michigan in 1901. He coached the Wolverines through 4 seasons undefeated. His fullback is Willie Heston, and that's a name you find on everybody's All-American 11. Here's 19-5. Here's Hurry Up Yost without Heston, and now it's 5 straight seasons undefeated, if he gets past this one today. Here we are at Marshall Field, Chicago. It's November 30th, 1905. The wooden stands are filled with fans. Here's Michigan, and here's Chicago. The Maroons have a great coach, too, Amos Alonzo Stagg, and a great quarterback, Walter Eckersall, Chicago local boy. And if you find Eckersall along with Heston today in the backfield of everybody's all-time All-American 11. But the last 2 years, 3-4, with Heston against Eckersall, it's Michigan way out in front each year. Here's Michigan without Heston, but look, the score for the season. 12 games. Michigan, 495 points. A dozen opposing teams put together, nothing. Zero. No points. No touchdowns, not a single field goal, not even a 2-point safety. Yes, Michigan, even without Heston, is still a juggernaut. And this is the final jamboree to make it 5 full seasons undefeated. Look, here's a team picture already printed. The title? Michigan, champion of the West. And in the Chicago dressing room, Coach Stagg holds up this Michigan picture. Take a good look, boys. Here's what they think of you. They call themselves champions even before this game today. What are you going to do about it? Eckersall kicks his locker. Champs, eh? What do you say, gang? And it's a wild rush for the door, out to the field. And the fans greet them with a terrific roar. Chicago hasn't lost a game this year either. And here's the old war cry. Go, Chicago! And here comes Michigan. Listen to the Wolverine rooters. Yes, this chill, gray, damp day is red hot now. You don't mind those wet snowflakes blowing on your cheeks. Here's the kickoff. Eckersall takes it on the goal line. Runs back 35 yards. Come on, Maroon! But Michigan says no. Eckersall has to kick. The ball's wet. He fumbles the pass from center. It's Michigan's ball on Chicago's 25. Yow, same old story. Pour it on, Michigan, just like last year. Roll, juggernaut, roll. Michigan fans are on their feet in high glee. The first play gives the ball to the Michigan captain, Fred Norcross from Cristo Oriente in Cuba. Fumble. Chicago's ball again. And here goes the Maroon. Here's Chicago's plunging fullback, Hugo Bezdek from Doylestown, Pennsylvania, destined to be a great coach at Penn State. Bez plows through the line for 7 yards. The Maroon march gets across midfield. Then Eckersall has to kick. Now it's a punting duel, Eckersall and Norcross. Eckersall's terrific kicks gain for Chicago in every exchange. But the Maroon can't get close enough to score. The whistle. First half. Nothing, nothing. As they come out for the second half, here's Bill Clark, a new man in the Michigan backfield. And right there, destiny puts the finger on the Michigan juggernaut. The new ball soon gets wet again from those snowflakes. Now it's the punting duel. Chicago moves ahead, slow but sure. Here's Eckersall trying a drop kick, a 45-yard shot at the Michigan goalpost. He's all set. Here's the pass from center. But the big Michigan line is on Eckersall like a tidal wave. The kick is partially blocked. The ball winds up on Michigan's 15-yard line. Norcross gets it for Michigan. And the Michigan fans give a yell they've rehearsed especially for Eckersall. A raspberry in rhythm. Gee-hee, gee-haw, gee-haw, haw-haw, oh-haw, Eckersall. But they can't cool off Eckersall's hot foot. Eckersall fires a punt out of bounds on Michigan's 5-yard line. A beauty. He's pinning the Wolverines back with his toe. Here's another one, over the goal line. But look, Bill Clark, Michigan's new safety man. Bill catches the ball back of the line. He should have let it grounded. Oh, a groan from the Michigan fans. They've got him. Yes, it's Mark Catlin, the Chicago captain and left end from Appleton, Wisconsin. The Maroon captain is down fast under that kick. He has a clear track. Now he's right on top of Clark. Socko! Catlin hits Clark with a bone-bending tackle. He's down. Back of the goal line, too. Yes, the safety man scores a safety for the other team. 2 points for Chicago. The first score against Michigan all season. It's great for Chicago, but it's tragedy for Bill Clark. Because there's only 1 minute left to play. It's Michigan's ball, and the ball goes to Tom Hammond from Harvey, Illinois, and Tom breaks loose around left end. He's off. He's in the clear. Yow! Michigan fans come to life. Here it is. Go on, Tom. Keep going. All the way. Nothing can stop you. Nobody's there. That's nearly right. Nobody but Walter Eckersall, Chicago's safety man. There's the goal line, and that goal line means victory for Michigan. But there's Eckersall, and Eckersall closes in. Eckersall dives. He hits Hammond at the knees, and down goes Hammond. Hard. He even drops the ball. And that's it. 2 plays later, the game's over. Chicago 2, Michigan nothing. The Maroon fans storm the field. They carry Coach Stagg and the Chicago players aloft on their shoulders in triumph. Another gang starts a bonfire. The hay that covered the field all last night and this morning. Another gang tries to set fire to the grandstand. Because the impossible has just happened. The Michigan juggernaut finally gets stuck. And we did it, Chicago. Yes, it's the end of the greatest juggernaut in all-time conference history. Stopped by a safety man's 2-point safety? No. Stopped by the other safety man, Eckersall. He fought back the juggernaut with his foot all afternoon. And then, when it came to that last pinch, with defeat closing down on him, the juggernaut rolling right at him, Walter Eckersall had that extra something that makes a champion. The something extra it takes to make an all-time All-American. And he shows it here today at Marshall Field, Chicago, November 30th, 1905. A once-in-a-lifetime.
Thanks, Bill Brandt. And there you have it, fans, another AFRS sports reel all wrapped up and put away. We'll return again soon with more close-ups by America's best-known sports authorities. Then again, you'll hear the familiar call of AFRS Sports Reel. This is the voice of information and education, the Armed Forces Radio Service.